The last thing we discussed was the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Is that correct?
Yes.
We discussed the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, I believe. So Anshei Knesset HaGedola was what? Anshei Knesset HaGedola was the Beis Din of Ezra. And we said that his Beis Din, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael after the Chorban Bayis Rishon, and they're building Bayis Sheni with Ezra and Nehemiah. So Ezra set up Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Instead of having the 71 members, it had 120 members. That was his Beis Din. People like Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Mordechai, they were all on this Beis Din. We spoke about the three principles of having Mesunim Badim, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, and also Siag LaTorah. And we use that as a springboard to talk about some of the important things that Anshei Knesset HaGedola did. After the Anshei Knesset HaGedola died out, as people would die out, they wouldn't replace them because there were already too many people. We wanted to get back to 71. And eventually, thank you, the Beis Din got back to 71, which was the standard number that we had always had throughout history since Moshe Rabbeinu, that's right. And if you look in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, it tells you the next people that led the Mesorah after Anshei Knesset HaGedola. The last member of Anshei Knesset HaGedola was Shimon HaTzadik. Was the last member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And we have a Mishnah from him that we learned. Do you remember what he said? What did he say? Al Shlosha. That's right. Al Shlosha Dvar Olam Omeid. Al Torah B'Avodah V'Al Kamilas Chasadim. Exactly. Very good. He was also, I believe, the Kohen Gadol. There's a story about Alexander the Great coming and coming out. That was Shimon HaTzadik. Yeah, so he was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. We then go into a time period that lasts for around 150, 200 years. And that is the period of the Zugos. Okay? Maybe let's just, it's always important, I would like to keep going over this because just like a basic roadmap of Jewish history is just so, so important. So let's just remember, we've got Moshe, we've got the Nevi'im, we have Bayis Rishon, which is at the same times of the Nevi'im, right? Moshe, the coming to Eretz Yisrael, David and Shlomo build the Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, we have the Chorban Bayis Rishon, right? Right, very good. That who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash? Who? Bavel. That's right. Good. Bavel. Then after Chorban Bayis Rishon, we have the Galus, and then we have the return for Bayis Sheni. So here is Anshei Knesset HaGedola. That's what we're talking about right now. And now we have Bayis Sheni. So through the period of Bayis Sheni, we have the Zugos. The Zugos are the ones who are living at this time. Who are the Zugos? What does a Zug mean?
Pairs.
You have a question?
Yeah. Where does Sancheirev come
in? Thank you. Sancheirev is before Chorban Bayis Rishon. Sancheirev was Melech Ashur. Okay. Ashur was... they were from the north, above Eretz Yisrael, like where like Iraq is right now. And they conquered the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. And then they eventually came down to Yerushalayim. They wanted to destroy Yerushalayim. They surrounded Yerushalayim, but there was a miracle that the whole camp died that night. Remember that story? The whole camp, they were killed, the whole camp. It was like a plague or a malach, you know, however you want to spin it. But we're told that they all died miraculously. It could be a malach brought a plague. Something happened and they all died out and Yerushalayim was saved. But then Bavel came, and then Bavel came a few years later and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So you have Ashur. If you want, I can write over here. We've got Ashur, then Bavel, then Paras Madai. That's the Persians. That's when the Purim story took place. Then we have Yavon. Those are the Greeks. And eventually we're going to have Chorban HaBayis Sheni is going to be who? The Romans. Romi. So we've got Ashur, Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavan, and Romi. We usually talk about the four Galuyos, the four exiles, and that we refer to as Bavel, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Ashur was right before that. Anyway, let's go back to where we are on the timeline. So we are at the Zugos. This is times of Bayis Sheni, after Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And the Zugos were pairs. Why are they called pairs? Because this is where we have the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. Those are the people that are leading the Beis Din Agadol, the people who are leading the Sanhedrin. The number one spot is the Nasi. The number two spot is the Av Beis Din. So if you look in our Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos, so you'll see that it will always tell you who, for instance, we're going to read soon a Mishnah about Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Those were two rabbis. Shmaya v'Avtalion. The most famous of the Zugos were, anyone know? Who were the most famous of the Zugos? Hillel and Shammai. That's right, Hillel and Shammai. So we've got a bunch of generations of Zugos. Zugos, again, just mean the people that are leading the Beis Din Agadol, the people are leading the Sanhedrin. So Hillel and Shammai are the two most famous as the leaders of the Sanhedrin. Okay.
Which one was Hillel?
I believe Hillel. Now, at the time of Hillel is actually when they made the takana that the Nasi had to also be from the Davidic line, Malchus Beis David, at the time of Hillel. So Hillel, as the Nasi, was not just the head of the Beis Din, but he even had like a quasi-melech status, because he was from, now he didn't actually really have a status of melech, but we wanted the Nasi to, this. I think the historians try to argue that this took place when the Romans installed Herod, or installed a vassal king in Israel. The Romans at this time rule over Eretz Yisrael, the Romans, and by the time of Hillel and Shammai, and they put a king in place in Eretz Yisrael as like a Roman king of Israel. So they took Herod, who had questionable lineage as a Jew, and came from slaves, he wasn't, very questionable lineage, and the Romans said, he's the Jewish king. So to sort of combat that, we made our own king. So we made the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, we made sure that he came from Malchus Beis David. He sort of was like the competing king figure against the Roman vassal king that was installed. And from then until, for the many, many generations, the Nasi was almost always from Malchus Beis David. Just the Nasi, exactly, right. Okay. 40 years before the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash, okay, Chorban Bayis Sheni. 40 years before the Chorban Bayis Sheni, the Beis Din HaGadol is Gola. It goes into Galus, the Beis Din HaGadol. 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And what does it mean that the Beis Din HaGadol went into Chorban, went into Galus? So this is a very, very famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us, if you look on your source sheet, Maran Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Eser Masos Nasa Shechina Mikrai, Ukenegdan Galsan Sanhedrin Mi Gemara. We learn out as a tradition that the Sanhedrin was Gola. There was a Golas of the Sanhedrin. From Lishkas Hagazis to Chanos, the first Golas is that it left Lishkas Hagazis, which was what again? Anyone remember?
Where they convened.
That was where they convened on the Har HaBayis. Lishkas HaGazis, the office of the hewn stone. Right. So Lishkas HaGazis. So they left Lishkas HaGazis and they went to Chanos. Chanos was an area right outside of Yerushalayim. But it was a gullus. They were no longer in their proper place. If you remember, the Pasuk said, last week's Parsha, the Kamtava Alisa Ala Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. You, the Sanhedrin needs to be in the Makom HaMikdash. That's where, if you have a court case that needs to be adjudicated, the Kamta V'Alisa HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, you have to go up to the place that Hashem chose. So the first Golus was to Chanos. Then from Chanos it went back into Yerushalayim. Then from Yerushalayim to Yavne, Yavne to Usha, Usha back to Yavne, Yavne back to Usha, Usha to Shafra'am, Shafra'am to Ebe Sha'arim, and from Be'Sharim to Tzipori, and from Tzipori to Tveria. And Tveria was the greatest of the Goluses. And then the Gemara says that Umisham Asidin Ligoel. And from Tveria, it will eventually come back into existence. And that's one of the reasons, we're going to Mirtz Hashem, we'll go to Tzfat towards the end of the year for Shabbos, we'll go to Tzfat. One of the reasons why a lot of the messianic fervor and excitement of you know, the coming of Mashiach and the imminent coming of Mashiach centered around Tzfat and Tveria, those areas, because of this Gemara. Because the Gemara says that the last place of the Sanhedrin was in Tveria, and it's going to start again from there, and the beginning of the Geula is the reinstitution of the Sanhedrin. V'yashiva shoftayich kibarishona. That's what we're told in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in Yeshayahu, that Hashem says, I will return your judges. That's the first step in the Geula process. Okay, so this 40-year warning, by the way, is very... There were many things that happened 40 years before the Chorban that foreshadowed the upcoming Chorban. So, for instance, it used to be, we're told, that whenever they did the Seir HaMishtaleach, right, they would have the two Seirim in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would take out cards, Kalpe, and one said Lashem, and one said Lazozel. So it always came out that the Goral Lashem came out on the right. So it always just happened to work out. And 40 years before the Chorban, that stopped happening. Also, there was that crimson string, the red string, that when the Seir would be pushed off the mount, it would turn white, and everybody would celebrate, right? Because that means that they knew that the tshuva of Klal Yisrael was accepted, and everyone would celebrate. It would turn from red to white. That stopped happening 40 years before the Chorban. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that Rabbi Tzadok fasted for 40 years before the Chorban. Well, he ate at night, I believe, but he would fast during the day. 40 years he fasted, Rabbi Tzadok fasted 40 years before the Chorban because he saw the Chorban coming. So this Gemara flows with all of those other Gemaras that 40 years before there was already a 40 years before there was already a warning. And here, why was it that they went into Golus 40 years before the Sanhedrin? Why did the Sanhedrin leave Lishkas Hagosas and go to Chanos? So here's a great Gemara. All Gemaras are great, but this one is very great for our topic. Take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos on Tesvav Amud Aleph. Yosi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda, v'Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim. Those were the Zugos, early Zugos. Gazru Tumal Eretz Amimim v'al Kliz Chuchas. They made a gezerah that Eretz Amimim is Tame. If you go into Chutz Laretz, you become Tame. Gezerah of Eretz Amim. And also on Kliz Chuchas, a glass kalim. So the Gemara asks, really? They made the gezerah on Tumas Eretz Amim? That if you go into Chutz Laretz, you're automatically Tame? I thought it was the rabbis of the 80 years. 80 years meaning 80 years before the Chorban, who made this gezerah. Dama Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana told us that Kishechala Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, that when Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, got sick, Shalchulo, his Talmidim sent to him, and they said, Rabbi, Amor Lanu Shnayim Ushlosha Devarim Sha'amart Mishum Avicha. Tell us two or three things that you heard from your father. Your father was Rabbi Yossi. Tell us one or two or three things that you heard from your father, Rabbi Yossi. So Shalach Lahem, so he sent them the following. Kach Omar Abba. This is what I heard from my father. Meya Ushmonim Shana Ad Shaloh Harva Bayis. 180 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Pashta Malchus Harisha Al Yisrael. That's when the Romans started to exert their force over Klal Yisrael. So 180 years before the Chorban, the Romans took control and started causing problems for Klal Yisrael. Okay, before that it was the Greeks. So the Romans took over 180 years before the Chorban. Shmonim Shana Ad Shelo Charav Habayis, 80 years before the Chorban Habayis, Gazru Tumal Eretz Amim, Ve'al Kliz Ruchas. That's when they made the Gezerah against Eretz Amim. And Arboim Shana Ad Shelo Charav Habayis, and 40 years before Chorban Habayis, Golsalo Sanhedrin V'yashvalo B'chanuyos. That's when the Golsa Sanhedrin took place, and they went to Chanuyos. So we have Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, told over three things that he heard from his father. And those three things are great that he told us because it gives us, fills in some historical information for us. 180 years before the Chorban is when the Romans took over. 80 years before the Chorban is when the Gezerah on Eretz Amimim took over. By the way, it might have been because people wanted to flee Eretz Yisrael to go into Golis, like because things were getting bad and they wanted to keep people in Eretz Yisrael. So they made a Gezerah on Chutz Laretz at your Tameh if you go there. And 40 years before the Golus is when the Sanhedrin left Lishkas Hagazus and went to Chanuyos. L'mai Hilchasot, the Gemara asks, like, what's the nafgamina? Who cares, Ki'ilu, that the Sanhedrin left Lishkas Hagazus 40 years before the Chorban?
I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Lomar Shlo Danu Dine Kenasos. That teaches us that they no longer imposed kenasos, deterrence, fines. Dine kenasos agadaitach? What? What do you mean dine kenasos? You don't need a based in a gadol to do kenasos. Ela ema shlo dano dine nefashos. So Gemara says, yeah, you're right. We didn't mean dine kenasos. We meant dine nefashos. And this is the halacha that we already mentioned, that you can only do dine nefashos if there's a based in a gadol in lishkas agazos. You do not need a based in a gadol to do capital punishment. What do you need? Based in of 23. But a based in of 23 in Woodmere cannot do dine nefashos unless there's a based in a gadol in lishkas agazos. So the Gemara asks, v'chi teima b'shmonim shana nami inu havi. Oh, sorry, so this is not the Gemara here. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has almost the same discussion, and the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, why did they not do dine nefashos? Why did they... The Gemara answers. The Gemara says because at that time it was a crazy time, and nefishei rotzchim, there were lots and lots of murders going on, and for that reason they wanted to stop doing dinei nefashos, which is interesting. You might have thought that would be more reason to do dinei nefashos, but first of all, it's part of the ambivalence of capital punishment. That's number one, and number two, they realized the situation was just out of hand. And they didn't want the obligation to be done dine nefashos. There were so many people. It was just a crazy time. So they left. They left Lishkas Agazus and they went out to Chanuyos. So first of all, it's interesting. You see that the Gullus of the Sanhedrin, sounds like from that Gemara, was an internal decision to go. We're going to leave Lishkas Agazus because the times are just too crazy. Well, I'll take your question in 1 second. So now let's just finish the Gemara. V'chi teima b'shonim shana nami inu havei. So that's the kasha. The kasha is, the Gemara had said that Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan were gozer tomal on Eretz Amimim. But the Gemara here said that when was the gozer on Eretz Amimim? 80 years before. So the Gemara says, okay. So b'shonim shana nami inu havei. Maybe that's when they lived. They lived. There's no stira. We thought it was a stira. How can you say Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan were gozer tomal Eretz Amim? The Gemara says it was done 80 years before the Chorban. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe they lived 80 years before the Chorban. So the Gemara answers, no. The Hatanya, we learned, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Vishimon, Nogu Nisiyusan, Bifnei Abayis, Meyashana. And Elu, Yossi ben Yoazer, Ishtred, and Yossi ben Yochanan were before them. So what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara just said as follows. Who can read me the names? Hillel. Go ahead, read me the names.
Shimon.
Hold on, actually, let me just erase and make a spot here. Write it on the board. So, go ahead. Hillel.
Shimon.
Hillel. Shimon.
Gamliel.
Gamliel. And?
Shimon.
And Shimon. Were, what did it say? They what? They were the Nesiim 100 years before the Chorban. So take a look. Here's the Chorban. The Gemara just told us who were the four Nesiim before the Chorban. We've got Shimon. This is Shimon ben Gamliel. We've got Gamliel ben Shimon. We've got Shimon ben Hillel. And then we have Hillel. So this is 100 years before. And Hillel was of the last of the Zugos. Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer were the beginning of the Zugos. So this was 80 years, 100 years, the Takana of Eretz Amim, the Tum of Eretz Amim, was during this period. It was 80 years before. So it couldn't have been Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer. They were the first of the Zugos. They were way before all of this. So the reason why we just did this Gemara is this Gemara basically tells us the history up till the Chorban. You've got Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan are at the beginning of the period of the Zugos. The last of the Zugos were Hillel and Shammai. The next Nesiim after Hillel and Shammai are Shimon, Hillel's son, Gamliel, Hillel's grandson, Shimon ben Gamliel, Hillel's great-grandson, and then that's when the Chorban took place. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is one of the Asara Harugei Malchus. We are told about Shimon ben Gamliel's death is described in that piyut that we say on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur about the 10 martyrs. Most of the 10 martyrs live later, like Rabbi Akiva lived much later. But Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi at the time of the Chorban, and he was killed during the Chorban.
Yossi ben Yoezer and
And Yosef ben Yochanan are before 100?
The Zugos.
120 is before.
They're like, no, they're the Hillel and Shammai are the last. Yosef ben Yochanan, they're like one of the first ones.
How can they make it so, 80 so, years before the Chorban?
No, that's exactly the point. The Gemara says, I know it's a kasha on you because you said they made the Gezerah,
right.
But the Gemara says it was 80 years before the Chorban.
So
it wasn't Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. It was sometime during the period of Shimon's Nesias. So Gemara is going to end up saying maybe there were two stages in the Gezerah. Maybe they first made a Gezerah on the ground and they made a Gezerah on the Avir. But the Gemara is going to deal with the Stira. That's not our point right now. Our point is just to pull the history out of this Gemara for now.
Is there a certain time that Nesiim rule?
So the Nesiim are always the heads of the... Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Nasi.
For how long? Is there a certain...
Until you die. You're the head of the Beis Tanagado. Yeah, unless they depose you. We're going to hear soon about them deposing certain, once in a while, a Nasi. But in general, the Nasi is the head of the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin. Yeah.
Or there was something that happened 180 years, 8 years, and then 40 years.
So 180 years is when the Romans took over. 80 years before is when the Gezerah against on Tumah of Eretz Amim took place. And 40 years before is when the Sanhedrin left, right? Like during the time period of Shimon Gamliel or Gamliel is when they left Lishkas HaGazis. They stopped doing Dine Nefashos. They left Lishkas HaGazis and went out to Chanuyos because they didn't want to be done Dine Nefashos. Then they ended up going back to Yerushalayim. That's that Gemara that we saw in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph.
Although, you said that, even though it sounds counterintuitive, that the more people were killing each other,
right,
that they exiled themselves, but really, the whole point of them ruling the Machon Asher Yikar Hashem is that it's kind of like a two-way street. They gain from the Kedusha, but they also have a job in order to project out that from. So if they're not doing their job...
I mean, if they're not influencing...
And for so consistently, then...
So then...
The job, then they have to
okay, that's a very nice suggestion. And I would also just add, even on a historical level, it could be like the pressures, things were crumbling. The Romans are oppressing them. It was 40 years till the Chorban, but it's not like everything was great until the Chorban. You look at the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. You see that it wasn't just all of a sudden you showed up in Auschwitz and you were killed. It was years of oppression, things getting worse, and the times getting more desperate. So that could have also contributed to some of the pressures of the time. Okay. The Chorban eventually happens because the Romans are, remember, they've been there for 180 years, and the Romans are oppressing the Jews so much, taxing them. They have ruthless governors that are ruling the area and treating the Jews very harshly, and eventually the Jews revolt. They expel the Romans. They get an army together, and they expel the Romans, like a rebel army. And they expel the Romans from Yerushalayim. There's a major battle at Beit Horon. Now, you guys might know of Mavoh Horon. That's where Rav Noam lives. It's right down the road, Mavoh Horon. When you make the left, not the left into Shalvin, but the left before that, come off the highway, you make a right, and then you make a left at a traffic circle. If you go straight, you get to Mavoh Horon. That's Mavoh Horon. Beit Horon is actually just a little bit behind that. I don't know if any of you have taken the highway 443 yet. Highway 1 is the Yerushalayim-Tel Aviv highway that goes from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. There's another entrance to Yerushalayim, which is the more biblical entrance to Yerushalayim, and that's Highway 443. So if you go on Highway 443 ever, that's the road from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. If you take that highway, so you will pass a town called Beit Horon. It was a city that was on the entrance to Yerushalayim. So there was a major battle there, and the Jews routed the Romans there and killed many, many Roman soldiers. I know we're it's 10 o'clock, so I'm just going to finish up. And the Gemara in Gittin, famous Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nunhei and Nunvav, talks there about the Romans sent a major army. You're a rebel, small little Jewish country. You kick the Roman governor and his army out of Yerushalayim, then you kill a lot of Roman soldiers in a battle. You know what the Romans are going to do. They're going to send a major army to destroy you. And they sent a major army. They surrounded Yerushalayim. At this point, the Sanhedrin had already moved back into Yerushalayim. And this is when Rav Shimon Gamliel, as the Nasi, is killed. The Gadol Ador besides him at this time is Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He sort of takes over the Sanhedrin, even though there's not really much. This is like the final days of the Jews. They're starving. There's no food. There's a major siege. They actually had a storehouse of food. And some Jewish rebels who wanted to fight the Romans, the Sikrakai, right? They went and they burned the entire storehouse of food, starving their own people, forcing them, the Bar Yonai, right? That's what the Gemara calls them. The Bar Yonai, they forced the Jews to rebel. The rabbis wanted to make peace. The religious community wanted to make peace with the Romans, you know, put up a white flag, give in. But the Bar-Yonai, the rebels, fighters, they wanted to really fight. So they destroyed all the food to force the Jews. It was a horrible time. That's the Gemara talks. You know, the Gemara there describes all of the different events. And what happens, and we're going to end with this story, but a famous story. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's the Gadol Hador at the time, after Nasi's been killed, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai realizes, I got to do something. So he fakes his death. His two Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, carry his coffin out to the entrance of Yerushalayim and say to the Bar-Yonai, you know, like, let us, he's dead, let us go out and bury him. The Bar-Yonai are like, well, we want to stab him to make sure he's dead. I'm like, no, you can't stab him. And then the Romans are going to think that he was killed in a revolt. That's going to look like we're not, you know, we don't have things together in here. So let us go out of Yerushalayim to bury him, because you're not allowed to bury a dead person in Yerushalayim. So they carry him out of Yerushalayim, and they buried him outside of Yerushalayim, and as soon as they get outside, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes out of the coffin. He goes to Vespasian, and so again, they take him out of the city. He's not really dead. He goes to Vespasian, who's the Roman general, and he says, "Listen, we're done. Can you please, whatever." The Gemara there has a whole story about how he told Vespasian he's about to become the Roman emperor, and then he got a message that he became the Roman emperor. So Vespasian basically grants him three wishes. One of the wishes is, can you save Rav Shimon Gamliel's son, who's the next in line to be the Nasi? You know, don't let the family of the Nasi die out. So he says, okay. He says, send a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok. Remember Rabbi Tzadok? He was on his fasting for 40 years. I want a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok. But his major request, those were personal requests for two individuals. His major request is, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha. Allow me to take the Sanhedrin to Yavne so that the Torah can continue. And Vespasian says, okay. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Sanhedrin are taken out of Yerushalayim, allowed to go to Yavne. Sure enough, Vespasian's son takes over for him, Titus, and he destroys the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Roman emperor who ends up destroying the Beis HaMikdash, is Titus. And we know the Gemara talks about all the horrible things that he did in the Beis HaMikdash when he destroyed it. But even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's Chorban Habayis, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Sanhedrin are able to escape to Yavne. That's one of the stages in the Gullus of the Sanhedrin. And this begins the period of the Tanoim. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is the first Tana. Namir Tzashem, next time we learn about the Mesorah, we will begin to start talking about